If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm picking up where I left off last week. Believer's response. That right there draws a line. It's not going to be everybody's response, but there is a response for the believer, and it's not the same as the response for people that are in the world. And we're supposed to have a response, and His Word proves that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 17 is kind of my home-based scripture. I went into Matthew last week. I went into 2 Corinthians last week. But I went out from 1 Peter chapter 3, so I'm going to come back to that again. 1 Peter chapter 3, a lot of instruction in there. And, you know, everybody's at a different place, truly. Everybody's at a different place right now. And everybody has some legitimacy to where they're at with the culture, with where things are at in the world right now. Some are just kind of riding it out. Some are very cautious. Some are cautious for different reasons. Some are fearful. Some are thinking that it's something else. And I get the joy of getting to pastor right in the middle of all of that. And it's not always an enviable place. But my response is to come right back to here. And that's really the only response that I can give, is what does thus say the word of the Lord? Not that everybody doesn't have a piece of something to stand on and to make an argument from that point, but I have to let all of those things go because I can't look at what I see and I can't look at what I feel. I've got to go with what I know, and that's the word of God. I've said this many times throughout the years. We don't live by our situations. We don't live by our conditions. We live by our positions. We live by what we know in the Lord and what He says. And God's always faithful. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 through 17. And I might add just a couple of more things in there. If I do, Jessica, you don't have to go to that. I can find that and read that very quickly. And yeah, they can flip to it too. It's just a page away if I use more. I'm definitely going to be going to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Chapter 20. The Trinity. Because we believe in the Trinity. Trinity. I knew I set that water there for something. And also Isaiah chapter 8. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. This is speaking to the believers. We're to live at harmony with each other. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Just these few verses right now, right here, have put a great deal of responsibility back on the believer, right? We're responsible for ourselves. I'm responsible for me. I'm not just responsible for how I respond or act when things are up here where I like them. I'm also responsible for things way down here when I don't like them. I had to be on the phone just a few minutes ago with someone who's had tremendous health issues for a few years now. And all of a sudden, they're back in the hospital again with tremendous health issues. And I was able to get to a family member that is actually in the room with them. Imagine that right now. Someone's in the room with someone in the hospital. You don't get that very often. That's almost on the miraculous that phone call even went through. but they actually were allowed to come in today and spend time with their loved one. And that was not a local hospital. That was one many hours from where we're at right now. But that's the situation that they're in, and I know that it's very trying times. But we have a responsibility. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Don't let your peace, don't let go of your peace easily. I would say don't let go of it at all. That's the best thing you can do. Guard your peace. Guard your heart. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Can you just stop right there and say, thank you, Lord, that your eyes are on me? And his ears are attentive to their prayers. So he's listening. A matter of fact, according to his word, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, praying for us right now. Isn't that what it says? But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So in other words, he sees. He sees it all. That should bring peace to you. He sees it all. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, even if you do suffer, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. That's taken from Isaiah. It is amazing to me how many times in the New Testament it refers back to the Old Testament. If you study your Bible, you'll see that. So many things are written in the New Testament that came from the Old Testament. He said, don't let what is causing them fear cause you fear. It talks about this, that out of this, I want to read that scripture reference because it's in Isaiah chapter 8. Verse 11 says this, the Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. I've got a story for you in just a few minutes. And God's warning to us is his love for us. I heard a man that was visiting one time. He said something right here. We let someone else use our building, and I came and attended. I didn't have anything to do with it, but I did attend, and this young man said something very powerful. He said, I got to a place in my life where I asked God. I told God this. He said, God, I thought you loved me. And the response that he got back is he said he heard the Lord say to him, this is me loving you. All of his love isn't a big old yes with a red bow on it and something shiny underneath it, is it? The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread, and he will be a sanctuary. David said this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The other scriptures that talks about that how we tear down that there's spiritual wickedness in high places and that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Just scripture after scripture, and it says this, that we are to tear down anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. We can let thoughts, if we're not careful, our thoughts will take us to a place where dread and fear exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me, and that's when peace exits my body. But peace comes back when I remember and I return to the Lord. When I return back to the Lord, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That scripture, dwell, actually means to, I will return to the house of the Lord. Why would I ever need to return? Because I walked away. I know y'all have never walked away from God like that, but I have. I've let my mind walk away from him. That's when the fear, that's when the dread takes place. That's when those queasies take place. That's when my stomach gets butterflies and turns upside down. Amen? So he says this in 1 Peter. He references that Isaiah scripture. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Let me just tell you, out of fear is where people threaten anyway. People threaten you. The threat that they threaten you with is something that they are afraid of. Nobody ever comes up to you and says, if you don't stop it, I'm going to give you $100 gift certificate to Walmart. They don't say that because that would be a blessing to you. That'd be something that you want, right? They give you something to dread that they don't want for themselves. He says, don't waste time with that. But here we go. But in your hearts, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. We talked about that last week. Set apart Christ as Lord in my heart. He is the Lord of my heart. Always be prepared to give an answer. We're dealing with the believer's response. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I'm going to leave that right there, okay? But here's the thing. If you move ahead of God or outside of the obedience to His word, you will become frustrated and you will start asking God, where are you? It is possible. Hear this. Please hear this. It is possible for us to move outside of God's will for our lives. It is possible for us to move outside of God's plan for our lives. We are not robots. We are given choices on this planet. You've all got choices. I've got choices. Everyone has choices. So God loves us so much that He gave us all choices. So you can choose anything you want to do. But here's the caveat. You do not get to choose what the consequences are going to be. That's where it comes right back to His word. And to the believer, you've got to understand God's eyes are on everybody. And His eyes aren't just on the sinful, they're on the righteous too. And He's expecting a response from us, and He's expecting a response from them. But He's not expecting our response to be like their response. We have a Father. We have a King. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We can hide behind a sacrifice of something thinking that we're being obedient when we're not. Disobedience is not obeying. It's that simple. And He's given us instruction on what to do. Now I want to give you just the most amazing story about response. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to read 1 through 30. There are so many things in the Old Testament that are just amazing reading. It's just blows my mind. And when you start studying what certain stories meant and how many, how much there is to what happened, it's really mind-blowing. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Menuhites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi. He has a human response, and he has a spiritual response. Alarmed, there's the human side. Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. There's the spiritual side. It's okay when something hits you and slams you, and all of a sudden fear tries to rise up, but you need to grasp onto the faith that you've got very quickly. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Fear, something causing fear comes, but you need to reach for faith really quick. So he's alarmed, but he goes right and inquires of the Lord. And he calls a fast. He proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, and I'm going to jump over a few scriptures. We're going to come back to what he said. But what I want you to see is he said something so powerful that God responded. The people were in trouble because all of this great mass and multitude of people were coming against them. So they knew, they were alarmed, or their leader was alarmed. They were alarmed. They came and told the leader, like, what are you going to do? And he was alarmed by that news, but immediately he inquired of the Lord. And what he said was powerful. I want you to know, I'm basing this whole message this morning on what he said, but we're going to get to it. Because there is a response from the believer that moves God. And it is a biblical response. And when we respond the way he says to respond, then a blessing is waiting for us. So look down to verse 13. I know we're skipping a lot, but I promise we're coming back to it. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Now that right there is a huge thing. Because this man, Jehaziel, stands up. He's the son of Zechariah, so that's his father. The son of Benaiah, that's his grandfather. The son of Jael, that's his great-grandfather. And that's the son of Mattaniah, which is his great-great-grandfather, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Why would God go back to the great-great-grandfather and say, I'm going to use this man right here, and he's going to stand up and give a powerful word for you people. But this guy came out of this guy who came out of this guy who came out of this guy who came out of this guy. What does it mean? It's because his great-great-grandfather, Mattaniah, do you remember when all of Israel was under Babylon for a while, and when they came out, well, the Bible says this, that a group of people, as soon as they came out, God set some things in order, and out of those Levites, Mattaniah was one of the, who is, I can't even pronounce their names exactly, right? Jehaziel, his great-great-grandfather was one of the ones way back then. Let me read it to you. First Chronicles chapter 9. All Israel was listed in the genealogies recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. The people of Judah were taken captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. Wow. Faithfulness. Having faith. Being faithful. What caused them? What caused God to allow them to be taken into captivity? Their unfaithfulness. I'm going to tell you that there are things that translate from the Old Testament that are along God's line, and He does not depart from them. If you look at the last scripture in the book of Judges, I think it's 21:25. I think it says something close to this. In those days, there was no king, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. In those days, there was no king, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Can I tell you that those days look like these days? And if unfaithfulness got them in trouble, then unfaithfulness is still something that God is looking at, and He's called you His righteousness. And if anybody should have faith, it is His righteous ones. Understanding that God's got His eyes on everybody and everything, and nothing is hidden from God. Now, if one thing were hidden from God, I would say we've got reason to be concerned. All of His other promises are true, but this one thing that we don't know about. Can I tell you, when He says don't walk by sight, but walk by faith, you need to take what you're seeing out of the equation? The people of Judah were taken captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. Now, the first to resettle on their own property in their own towns were some Israelites, priests, Levites, and temple servants. Of the Levites, down in verse 14, into verse 15, Bakkar, Harish, Galal, and Mattaniah, son of Micah. Son of Micah. Mattaniah, son of Micah. So he's into this genealogy thing, but he's saying, I've drawn a line right here. His father got in trouble for being unfaithful. But Mattaniah is going to be faithful. And later on, he calls it out. You're going to have a great, great grandson that I'm going to cause to stand up and bring a word to a people full of fear, but they are inquiring of me, and I'm going to use that. Don't tell me that God does not keep a record. He's got record of stuff my dad did, my grandpa did, my great-grandpa, my great-great-grandpa, all the way back. Everything that made me, He's got a record of it. But I'm thankful that somewhere along the way, someone came out from some stuff and held on to God, and He's reminding them of your faithful forefathers, and the faith that they had and the God that they saw is getting ready to show up right here. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. And this is what he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Oh, I got to stop. I'm saving what I'm saving. Please understand, I've got something to emphasize. With what was said, I'm looking at it right now, but I got to save it. We're going to get to it. But what was said caused this response that they're getting now. It started with Jehoshaphat getting a word that the enemy's coming, and there's a lot of them. And then it went to Jehoshaphat being alarmed, but immediately inquiring of God. And all the people gather, and they begin to pray. And then Jehoshaphat says something else that we'll get to. But all of a sudden, God is looking at this because his eyes are on us. And he says, way back to your great-great-grandfather, you speak these words to my people. And that's what's being done. Jehaziel said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Let's get into what's right and what's fair for a second. I believe in fairness. Y'all believe in fairness? Good, then we can talk. What seems right and what seems fair is still right and fair, but it doesn't mean it's in order. And even though it would be right, and even though it would be fair, it could be outside of God's order. You take this story back. These people who are coming to attack now are people that in the past got very bold while they were still afraid. The proof is in the earlier scriptures. I can give it to you if you want to know. It's in Numbers and it's also in Deuteronomy. Y'all remember the brothers, Israel and Esau, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Do you remember that God gave some land to Esau? You remember that? Well, this is what's happening. God's people are about to cross through a place. And they send out and ask permission. Can we walk through your land? We won't touch a thing. Our livestock will not even drink your water. We just want to go around. We will go around. And if our livestock, because you can't really make promises for goats and cows. But you can make exceptions. And this is what they said. If they stop and drink any water, we will pay you with silver. We're going to do our best to keep them from drinking anything, but we just want to walk around. Can we do it? And the word came back, no, you can't. And you know what they could have done right then? They could have taken up arms and wiped them out, but the word of the Lord said, do not attack them. Do not attack them. Whatever you do, I have given them this land. And this is what the word of the Lord said. If they let you go through and your animals drink any of their water, you pay for it. So they sent back again and said, can't we just walk through? We're willing to pay for it with silver. And the word came back, no, you can't. Can I tell you, kingdoms didn't work like we work nowadays. They're like, that sounds like something to fight about. Oh, yes, we can. We can take the water. We'll do more than leave a trail. We'll just take the whole land. How about that? But God said, do not do it. So would it have been fair? I mean, they just wanted to walk through. And they asked permission. Wouldn't it have been fair? Were they going to pay them back with silver? I mean, hey. I do the math. I mean, 40 cents less than $3 at Walmart, that's about 8 cents. Anybody want to give me some silver for it? Deal. No. These people were making a point. But who was watching? God. And God said, don't make a move against them. Just wait. Now here they come. Now here they come. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. I will repay. And then what does God say? He says, just line up and watch. Just line up and watch. Tomorrow, this is what God says. You'll see. Everybody showed up, didn't they? You will not have to fight this battle, verse 17. Take up your positions. What did I say just a minute ago? We don't claim our condition. We don't claim what we're going through. But we do claim our position in God. We do claim what we know. We do take our position. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face him tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Can I tell you, as I've said many times before, worship is always an appropriate response. Say it again. Worship is always an appropriate response. When the enemy is in attack mode, worship is always an appropriate response to the Lord. Before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." Now, this just happens to be chapter 20, verse 20. So if I were preaching and trying to get a title that was snappy, I would say 2020. And we're living in 2020. But you know, people say this about hindsight is 2020. With God, foresight is 2020. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, listen to me. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Can I tell you how foolish this must look? If I was going into battle, I would want my tanks up front. I would want the most intimidating thing. I want a parade of those big old trucks with the missiles that are pointing like that. And I would try to have them things where they aimed and they're looking like they're coming right at you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would want to show you everything, all my force, all my strength. I would want to put the biggest, baddest guys up front and them doing stuff like, I don't know, ninja skills, John. It would just be crazy. But what does God say? Put them up there and let them sing. You know what that tells me about God and what he views your praise as? A weapon. Not just a weapon, but a weapon before the battle. That's how you fight your battles. A weapon before. Because anybody can see God move and then go out there and start praising. Show me somebody who can praise ahead of time. Show me somebody in the ditches before it happens, and they're not fearful. They're praising God. They got a song on their lips. They're not Barney Fife with their one bullet. The men know because we've got Barney in our bathroom. Y'all know, man up. I got Barney in there just looking at us. It says, man up. Sing. Sing. Worship is always, 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 always in order. Worship is always a weapon. You know how many times, you know that the devil has been around a long time too, you know that. And with any history lesson, we remember what happened in history, right? You don't have to understand that your praising is a weapon, but the devil understands. He understands what happened when God's people started worshiping. He understands how his plans got foiled. He understands how his strategy was made a mockery. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Meekness. Can I tell you how much meekness it took for them to just not cross those borders way back when they did everything right, when they asked for permission and it wasn't granted, and we said, we will pay if we mess this thing up. We just want to get from point A to point B. And they were told no twice. Can I tell you how much meekness was required of them at that point? Meekness is not weakness. Don't ever confuse it. Meekness is strength under control. The picture of meekness is of a war stallion dressed to go into battle with all of its shielding and its metal works on the animal itself. And that stallion, every muscle rippling, ready to go, but the bit in his mouth holding him back. That is the picture of meekness. And they were meek. But the Lord was watching the whole time. Hear this. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. What does that mean? It means something. It always means something. Where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called Valley of Baraka to this day, because that word Baraka meant praise. Then, now is the time when everybody could praise. But they had just got through praising, and what did they do? They went back into praise mode. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. Now look what happened. Because they had the correct response to God, the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So there was only two things that could be a testimony right there. Didn't it say that all of the kingdoms, when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, didn't it say that? Didn't it just say that? So they heard of it. So they even heard of it two ways. They either saw it. You ever had anybody say to you, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? There are pictures that can be painted with words. And when you look out there and see one group that's unscathed and they're watching it all happen and everybody down there is dead, that says a lot to me. So either they saw it like that or they heard it from the praise of God's people. But one way or another, it came back to them as something that they heard, and the fear of the Lord struck them all. And then these people, the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. How about that? How many of you would like rest on every side right now? I would. Has anybody cheated and read it? Because this is what I've been holding on. Because this was the response that set it all in motion. It happened. But today I wanted you to see there was a response that made it happen. All that happened, and I didn't tell you what it was because I wanted to save it for now. But I want you to know the people responded properly to God. You know that his word says this in the Old Testament. He said, write down what I've said. Tell your children about it. Whenever you go to bed at night, tell them about what I did. Tell them about what I did. Tell them about what I did. And when you get to the New Testament's looking back. Look at what God did. Look at what God did. Why? Because if he did that, he can do this in every situation. He is the great I am. So let me read to you. Then Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, so he got the news that the people are coming, the army is coming. He was alarmed and he inquired of the Lord. And this is what he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? Are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir whose territory you would not, remember the story, you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Powerful. Powerful. Works. Works. When you call to remembrance the God who worked before in your past, and you realize that he's the same God who will work in your future, then you can presently call on that God to act for you. But it takes you responding to Him in the time of crisis, crying out to Him. We've made a place. We've put a name on it. The name on it is your name. We cry out to you. Did you not do this with your great, awesome powers? Did you not? Are you not the God who did this? Are you not the God who is King of kings and Lord of lords? And every nation has to recognize your power. Are you not that God? Did you not deliver us? Wasn't that you? Will you not show up right now? When you have that kind of response and that kind of revere and that kind of reverence unto Almighty God, understanding this, he said, we don't have any weapons for them, but we've got you. Do you know what that translates? If we've got you, we don't need any weapons. If we got you, we don't need any weapons. We're not even going to fight. The best tool that they could have had would have been some binoculars for their seating, where they were at. Ooh. Serving God. With all of this proof, why is it still hard? I'm going to tell you why it's hard. Come on, Christine. But it's because you still live in this flesh house. You still live in this flesh house. There's still enough for concern. I'm so appreciating that the scripture said, alarmed. Jehoshaphat was alarmed. Doesn't say how long he was alarmed, but however long that alarm lasted, he moved right into inquiry of God. And he stayed with that. And he started reminding himself of the God that was, and the God that is, and the God that will be. Can I tell you this about God? He's all in. Are you? Are you? Because all you got to do is turn back to Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What did the scripture say? Make Him the Lord of my heart. Give Him the space of my heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. That can only be translated to this. Stop trying to figure it out. Who could have figured that out? But God had it planned. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do you remember what I told you about when I was teaching about worship not too long ago? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You remember what I said about worship? Worship is about who gets acknowledged. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Worship is about who gets acknowledged. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Worship is about who gets acknowledged. And if you get that part right, then you can tear down all this other stuff. Anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Yes. He shall direct your paths. He shall make paths straight for you. Show called Truth or Consequences. Had a lot of truth to that, just to the title. Truth or Consequence. Truth is in question right now. Truth is left up to the mind of the person that's stating it, but not ultimately. You can do that, but you don't get to choose that. I would say choose very, very, very wisely. I would stick as close to that as you can. And I would say this, if his word says, when I return, will I find faith? Your faith is going to be attacked. Didn't say it wouldn't be there. He said, will I find it? Because the faith is the only thing that you need. Faith is where it starts at. I shouldn't say it's all that you need. Faith is where it starts. Father, are you not the one? Are you not the one? Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, are you not the one that delivers, that created it all, that knows the beginning from the end, that knows the first from the last? Are you not the one? Did you not deliver your people time and time and time and time again? Every time, even when our unfaithfulness from our fathers of old calls us to end up in places that were so undesirable. God, we're looking unfaithful these days. We're looking like the people that didn't have a king, so they did what they felt was right in their own eyes. But are you not the God who delivers us? God, will you not, as we respond to you, will you not be victorious in our lives? Yes. Yes, you will. Every time. So we turn our eyes back to you so that we don't be looking for stuff. We turn our eyes back to you so we don't be looking for proof and things that come into agreement with what we think it should be. Turn our thoughts to you so that our thoughts don't just vacillate and swirl and get moved from here to there today and from there to yonder tomorrow. Lord, let us be steadfast. Let us be found faithful. Let us be found holding to you, trusting in you, in your word, so we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. And when we've done all we can do, stand. Thank you, Lord. Your word is truth. It is the only truth. It is the only way. And you are the light of the world. And our life is in you, God. Lord, you've laid out proper responses for us. Let us be obedient to your word. Let us find comfort in obeying your word. In Jesus' name.
Your body.
Settled right now. I've preached 3 or 4 weeks on the issue of worship, making sure that you had the issue of worship settled in your life. Worship is always appropriate response. I've heard of different ones doing different things. I've heard of pastors calling fast. I've heard of pastors encouraging their congregation just to listen to worship music. All those are wonderful things. But I know what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Don't be in fear. I want my life to be a testimony as one that was not afraid but trusted in God. My response to God's word, this is how I trust Him. Simple obedience. Simple obedience. I tested all my children. Tested all of them. This simple thing, I put them on something high. Not that high, but high enough for her to be concerned. And her to cut her eyes like, John? And I knew watching them, this is how much faith that my children had. As soon as I put my hand up to them, I did not even have to say jump. I just did like that and was ready because they were coming. And we're supposed to have that kind of faith. I'm ready to leap with you, God. I'm ready to leap with you, God. I believe we should be that eager to follow God that He has to say, stand still. I had to say, Michaela, not yet. Wait, don't jump. Kenzie, don't jump. Walker, don't jump yet. Let me get back a little bit. Let me make it a little bit of a challenge. And Christine's like, do we have insurance for this? But I'm seeing something beautiful. I'm seeing childlike faith, ready to jump. What if we were so ready to move for God that He said, wait, I said stand still. Now it just about has to be. Have you ever heard somebody give a testimony and said, the Holy Spirit nudged me? Let me tell you something, that somebody that's nudged wasn't ready to jump. Stood on the edge of water getting ready to jump down and you got somebody around you that you don't really trust that they might be ready to just nudge you and you're like, wait, don't anybody touch me. I don't want the Holy Spirit to just have to nudge me all the time. I want to be ready to move and then be obedient if He says stand. And that's the position we're in. Stand and see the glory of the Lord.